Well, I'm glad each one is here. I trust that the Lord will help us not do so much coughing. We'd like to look into a little thought in the scripture. And maybe before we even do that, I'd like for us to maybe or sing the third verse of number 463 in our hymnal. And the title of the song is, I Am a Child of the King. Now, I would venture that none of us here are actually a very direct descendant of any kind of royalty. Maybe you are, but I know I'm not. And so, if we could, let's sing that last verse of number 463. Okay, so this verse talks about God being our Father and Jesus my brother. And I'm thinking this evening of how important it is, although it may be a very simple thought for some of us, but how important it is for us to recognize that the relationship we have with God is like we're in a family. And when we make changes in our life, the wedding that took place yesterday, ultimately it's a merger of families. There's two families that's going to have more interaction than they ever had before. They're going to get acquainted as time goes on. As our children has gotten married, we've got acquainted with other families in ways that we never knew them before, and they've got acquainted with us like they've never known us before. And a family structure is good, and as we come together here as a congregation, a group of people, it's important for us to feel like that we belong. It's important to feel like that we're part of the same family. So I want to take us back a few years to when I moved away from my, as we might say, old stomping grounds. I moved away from the area where I was raised. I was, to give you a little context, I had just turned 19 years old, and I moved away from my parents' house into a house that I had rented, a little one-bedroom house. And when I moved to that different location, I was about, 7 or 8 hours away from where my parents lived, and this was back before cell phones and texting, and it was just a long time ago. And y'all have heard me, some of you anyway, have heard me explain how important it was to my mother not to have a very extensive long distance telephone call. And I didn't even have a telephone. If you wanted to talk to me on the phone, you had to call me while I was at work. I know there was a period of time, and you had to ask for me when I was at work, because there was a period of time I didn't have a telephone, and I remember Anita's mother needed me to do something. So she came by my house. She'd come into town for something, and she came by my house and asked if I would come out to help her with some project that she had, because that was the only way to get a hold of me. You couldn't call me and you couldn't text me. And so there was a lot of factors involved, but my parents were not around. I was in a place 7 or 8 hours driving time away from my parents. And I was young. There was people that I was vaguely aware of that was at the church where we attended, where I attended at that time. But I didn't know any of them like my parents. And I remember having some conversation, and people would start talking about others in the community, and it was so-and-so's father or their relative and all of that, and I knew they didn't get it, and I didn't know how to tell them, but I felt kind of like a fish out of water. I did not feel like I belonged. I did not feel comfortable, and it wasn't that I felt rejected. I just hadn't found where I fit in, okay? So as we consider what it means to be saved, to have a relationship with God and to be a Christian, I think it behooves all of us to really wrap our minds around that His intent is that we would feel like family. It would feel like we're at home. And if we, if a new child comes into the home, whether it could be by adoption or by birth, I've got a little grandson coming, and to one of my sons, and he has an older brother and an older sister, and that next one up, that's the baby of the family now, when this little guy gets here, there's going to be an upheaval in his life. He don't know it yet, but he's not going to be the baby of the family any longer, and it's going to be a real adjustment for him. But I've got confidence that give it a couple years at the most, and he'll fit just like the other two fit. They'll all accept him, and they'll have some bad times, I know, and there'll be some fusses, but they will enjoy one another. And same way here. We come together, and as those that, my daughter-in-law's that's here, I mean, wasn't raised in this little congregation, but as you came here, you probably felt like, well, I don't know, I feel kind of like a stranger a little bit. I know them kind of, but I don't really know them. But as time goes on, I hope that you feel more and more like you're part of the family, this little family, besides being a part of my own, my personal family, but this is part of the family of God. So as we read in this, or sang in this verse, he's talking about God being the Father, and Jesus my brother, since I'm adopted by heavenly love, I'm an heir in the kingdom of glory, and have a crown that's waiting above. You know, it's nice to know that you're going to be an heir of something. You don't have to be an heir of a huge estate, but just to know that you're going to be an heir. I'm sure that those of us that are older, if there's children or others in our family that kind of looks up to us and admires us to whatever extent, somewhere along the line, if we tell them, now listen, when I'm gone, this is going to be yours. And it might be something of not very much value, but it just means something to know that you're going to inherit it. So It says that we're an heir of something extra special out of this world when we're part of the family of God. So I'd like for us to look at a few verses, and we'll begin here in Romans, the 8th chapter. And notice it's probably the verses that inspired that very song that we wrote, or we sang, at least the verse that we sang there. If we begin reading in the 8th chapter of Romans, and about the 8th verse, he says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." So what's he addressing here? He's addressing that if you're just can only see that I can only be part of a flesh and blood family, then you're going to be missing it. But he said, it's not that. That's not what I'm talking about. He says, I'm talking about something that has to do with our spirit, with our soul. He says, if it so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, if you have a personal relationship with the Lord, he says, now I want to talk to you about the things that pertain to that, not just the things that pertain to those that have the same last name or that have family lineage through your mother's side of the family or something like that. He says, I want to talk to you about your spiritual life. He says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So if you don't really know Christ as a personal Savior, then this don't really apply. But if you know Christ as your personal Savior, if you've confessed and repented of your sins, then there's that relationship. It may not be as strong as you want it to be, but there's a starting place there. He says, and if Christ, this is verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. He's differentiating here between the natural life and the spiritual life. And he says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. So, what's he saying here? I believe that what he's saying is that when we have a relationship with God, and we know that how much it gives us a sense of peace and of satisfaction down in our hearts and our spirits, there's going to be an application and it's going to impact our natural lives. There's been many a grouchy person that began a relationship with Christ and really confessed and repented of their sins, and they became somebody that people didn't mind living around. So he said here that quickening or that change that happened on the inside is going to quicken your mortal bodies. It's going to give some life to something that was maybe not so nice before. He says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So there is a life of conquering that God has for us. Therefore, brethren, I'm sorry, I read that verse, 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now we're getting down to where I wanted to get to. If we are led by the Spirit, if we are listening to the little voice behind us that says, this is the way, walk ye in it. We're in a place that he says, if you're in a place you're listening for God's voice, then you're the sons of God. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. So let's read some more here. Verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, But ye have received by the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Or this is a very personal, I wonder how many of us here have had a special little name for your father. Maybe you call him Papa, or maybe you call him Daddy, or something like that. That's what this is talking about. This Abba Father is a very personal relationship. It's a personal expression of acceptance and acknowledgement that God is our spiritual Heavenly Father. So, I hope that the idea of a family, a good, solid family, is something that makes you feel accepted, and it makes you feel at home, and it makes you feel wanted and loved, and because that's the intent of the family of God. That's the intent of the relationship that we start out to have with Jesus Christ. And that's the intent of a congregation where we can feel that we belong to a family. Going back to my experience as a, to me today, it's a, when I was a young adult, but I thought I was real mature at the time. as time went on, and I began to actually put faces with people's names, and I began to be personally acquainted with the people that her family knew in the community, and they began to know me not just as that young man that is dating this young lady. They began to know me for who I was and what I did, and in my trade and my occupation, and they began to have a level of trust in me. I'm going to tell you, I began to feel like I belonged. And I lived in that town, and I lived in that community for almost 20 years. And when I left, there was one man that offered to help me. Well, two men. One of them loaded up some of my stuff because he had a trailer and hauled it over here for me. I couldn't have done that first month I lived there. And another man said, here, you want to borrow my truck? You can use my truck. Use it as long as you want to. And I took a whole week hauling stuff every day after my job. I would load it up and bring stuff over to my new place over here. All of that was happened because I had become part of the community. I become part of that, if you will, a community family over there. And so I just want us to see, it was valuable to me. Have you ever rented a truck for a week? That would have been very expensive for me. But it was a truck he wasn't using every day, and he was very happy for me to use it and make sure that I took care of it and brought it back full of fuel and all that kind of thing. It worked out really good for both of us, I think. But for me especially. And I felt like there was a level of trust. Isn't that what we want around here? Would you like to come to church with people that you just were suspicious of? Wouldn't that be kind of edgy? You know, wouldn't it be a very uncomfortable thing to be sitting next to somebody or wondering where they're coming from or what they're going to say, or, you know, I'm not sure what they're telling is the truth or not? That would be a horrible situation. But that's the whole idea of being a family of God. You know, when we recognize that God is our Father, don't you know that gives us all a sense of security? You know, that's why it's so important to have a father in the home. My boys, Lord blessed us with four of them, and they knew that there was some things that wouldn't just going to get, it just was not going to get past me. It just wasn't going to happen. But they also knew that I wasn't going to require something out of one of them that I didn't require out of the other one. And that's the way God is. He's not going to require something out of one of us that he wouldn't require out of the other. There's going to be, he's the stabilizing. That's the element I want us to get a hold of with the father part of this family. He is a stabilizing factor. It's like the buck stops here, so to speak. It's the thing that this is as far out of bounds that this is ever going to go. It gives such a security and such a peace. I am so glad that nobody has left me in charge, that it's God that's in charge of every one of us. And I can be a joint heir with every one of us that's here tonight. I'd like to go to Galatians, the fourth chapter. You've heard me read this verse many times, and I won't go into a lot of depths of it. But he says here in Galatians 4 and chapter 4 and verse 26, he's talking, verse 25, he says, "For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an answer to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children." Apostle Paul was speaking about the literal Jerusalem here that he was very well acquainted with, and it was in bondage because it was not a sovereign nation of its own. It was under Roman rule at the time. But he says in verse 26, "But the Jerusalem which is above is free. The spiritual Jerusalem is free, which is the mother of us all." The spiritual Jerusalem, I believe with all of my heart, is the spiritual church that God has. It's the church of God. It's the church that God is the father of. And it helps us get the picture of a mother in the image. Individually, we're children. Individually, we're responsible to the father. But collectively, we are the mother. Okay? We can be a part of the visible body of Christ in the mother. So, in Matthew, the sixth chapter, he gives us, Jesus here is speaking in Matthew chapter 6 in verse 9. We'll get over there. This is in the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is speaking to them about how they ought to pray. And he says, "After this manner," verse 9, "Therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And he goes down and lists some other things there, but in his instructions on how to pray. But I want us to just get the scope. Pretty simple thought tonight. But I want us to get the scope of how valuable it is to be part of the family of God. If somebody could find the words to that song, we used to sing it when Anita and I were young people, says, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God." It's not in our books. Okay. So I'd like for us to get a picture in our mind, and it'd be something that we would work towards making it the most attractive thing that others could ever observe is the family of God. You know, all of us can probably say something about our natural family and say, well, this particular person, it might be an uncle, it might be an aunt, it might be a sibling, it might be somebody else. We'll hear something like, they're the black sheep of the family. Or they don't really fit in. Or don't judge us all by so-and-so. We're trying to make an exception or an excuse. But, you know, all of us have an individual responsibility here. All of us, I believe, that by the grace of God can be adopted by love, as this other song said, into the family of God. I'd like for us to really think this week, as we go about our duties, what can I do to make the picture of the family attractive? And when someone else looks on, they say, you know, That reminds me of a family. We don't even have to suggest it. That reminds me of a family that loves one another, that gets along, that is, you know, I want to be part of that. Don't you want to be part of a family that has a strong nucleus? Don't you want, naturally speaking? I want my boys to get along. I want them to be able to come together at my house and enjoy one another's presence. And sometimes they get into conversations and they're talking about things that maybe I don't understand, especially if they get into something I'm not familiar with. Sometimes they'll be rattling on about something. It's like, I don't know, I'm glad they're enjoying it, but I don't know. I don't know what they're talking about for sure. I catch a few words, but they're deep into something they've been reading about or whatever. And I'm glad they enjoy each other. You know, that's the thing that I want others to see. Oh, I want to be part of that. I want to be part of that family, and we can all be contributing members. Maybe we could sing that song. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God.